Okay, I want everybody to tell me some things that happened on the Feast of Pentecost without reading your memo.
King David died.
David died.
Tower of Babel was destroyed.
Tower of Babel was destroyed.
Law given.
Law was given.
Spirit moved on the face of the waters.
Spirit moved on the face of the waters.
Time
rich. Huh?
Pal saw the burning bush.
Pal saw the burning bush. Did you say the law was given anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of things happened at Pentecost. What else happened? Remember, we studied it last Tuesday?
The temple was destroyed.
Who?
Well, I mean, the thing was ripped. The veil was ripped.
No, that was
Passover. Passover. Al, I can't believe you'd say
that. Oh, Harry.
Harry said it last Tuesday. I said it on Tuesday.
I heard it someplace.
Yeah, I said it on Tuesday.
From Rabbi Harry.
But do you know how to spell it? Do you know how to spell it?
I can't believe it.
We're only missing one and a half.
Well, there's a bunch of
others. You're not supposed to look.
Well, I'm not going to say.
Well, you're out of the game now.
I'm
hit the eject button.
The earth was set on fire.
Now let's play. How'd you get there?
Well, the two things that we studied Tuesday night was that was the fire was lit. The fire that's spoken of in Jude was lit.
That it was lit?
Lit. The world was set on fire. The fire was lit on the Feast of Pentecost by the fires of Olam.
I thought it had always been lit.
And the Whore of Babylon was destroyed, was killed, but she's still acting like she's alive.
There was something I wanted to ask you last night, and I just remembered. There was something to do with Ruth? Was there something to do with
a lot to do with Ruth.
I know.
We read the book of Ruth.
When she went to the threshold.
I read it every year, but I mean, is there something specific? About?
Yeah, when Boaz woke up and found her at his feet on the threshing floor, that was Pentecost.
Is that it?
That's why the guys were at the Column of Boaz. The same thing.
Ruth was at the Column of Boaz. All right. But we're going to look tonight at the Tower of Babel. And the whole earth was one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord God came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do.
This is what we were talking about the other night, about this, the idea of what a city is. Right?
Yeah. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. From thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all of the earth. Remember when earlier, when let's go there.
What's it mean which says, let us make us a name?
Let's become something. Let's be a big deal. Let's be something. I want to be somebody. Remember when who was the guy that stole the coat from Jacob?
Esau.
No, the guy, the hunter.
The hunter of the souls of men.
Yeah.
The guy who gave it to Esau?
Nimrod. No, he didn't give it to Esau. He stole it from Esau.
Oh, okay. So this calling of the calling of Babel, that's the beginning of Babylon.
No, it's two different words.
Well,
what?
Well, according to this Hebrew and Chaldean dictionary, it says confusion, Babel, i.e. Babylon, including Babylonia. And the Babylonian Empire. That's what I was wondering.
That's what's the matter with reference Bibles.
This is B-A-B-E-L. It's where the babes
were. Babels. The city of babes where its name begins with L.
The city of babes.
Babe L's.
Babe Watch. It's a TV show. Babes.
Anyway, the thing that mankind was never to do, remember Nimrod did three things. Anybody remember?
Stole Jacob's coat.
No.
Good shot.
Because
Nimrod's
something about good and evil.
No.
I don't remember.
Something with his people. He taught them something.
He taught them to live in walled cities. He taught them to gather in huge communities. What else did he teach you?
I don't know, but that's two really bad things.
To build towers for protection.
Oh, wow. Did he come before?
Before.
So he's a...
Who?
Huh?
Who taught
him? Nimrod. Why do men gather in cities?
To escape...
Persecution.
Do you understand? Let's start at the beginning. All of what man defines as progress is simply man's attempt to escape from the revelation of Christ. The revelation of Christ comes only when man is in a weak position. And all that man defines as progress from the beginning of time has been to strengthen position of man, make him more independent. And so part of that business about the illusion of, that's where the gospel is, it'd be far more difficult to have the true gospel believed. That's why God has permitted America to be so fractured, because it'd be far more difficult to believe the gospel if you already lived in a tribe. In one sense, it would be much more difficult. In another sense, if you were fairly in a tribe, it would be more easy. But because you, in American society or in the success of the individual, there is no possibility that you will have any kind of a role model of what community is or what the body is. And so, If you lived in already in a tribal environment, there's tribes all over the place that take on the name of Jesus real quickly, boom 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 boom, because they just make Jesus the chief god, and then they add to it certain sacrifices, and they add certain this, and pretty soon you have Santeria and all these other weird blood religions. And it's no more to do with the gospel and the man in the moon, but some evangelist or some missionary has gotten credit with his missionary board for converting a whole tribe. Because now they every once in a while mention Jesus. Understand that? Okay. So the tribal community idea would make it much easier to say, okay, I'll accept Jesus, than it is to understand what the true gospel is in America. I mean, because here we have no understanding of what it means to be a tribe or a people. In a tribe, you have the illusion of being able, because the idolatry is so total and common, I mean, everybody in the tribe has exactly the same idolatrous system of thought. They've all been taught the same value systems from birth. They've all been taught the right way of doing things, the way of being a success in that societal environment. And so everybody in the tribe can have the appearance of unanimity or even equanimity without it costing them anything, because there's nothing to rub against them wrong. You understand?
The picture of the noble savage that lives in peace.
Right. That the illusion, all that, the Margaret Mead's great fraud upon the scientific world. But anyway, so from... in that place of common idolatry, then you're far more likely to be able to communicate with each other. In other words, language and body language and eye movements and all of that would have been learned from birth to perfectly go with the words, to perfectly go with the body language, so that the communication is most likely in that tribal environment. Everybody understand that? It's still not communicating, but you have the illusion of. It's far more than we have in America. Far more than you have here. I mean, you can't communicate with anyone here, because everybody comes from totally different tribes with no common idolatry. And so now, the Tower of Babel has done its work. I mean, there's no way, even the closest marriages here, you can't compare it to what it would be like to be married in a tribe in terms of abilities to know your partner and know your wife and be able to communicate, truly communicate. So believe it or not, from God's standpoint, those little tribal societies, even the ones that have had Jesus' name on them, that's bad, because they're never tested. There's less affliction. Here, where it's the most screwed up place in the world from the standpoint of any possibility of communicating with each other, because everybody has totally different value systems, totally different idolatries, it's possible for God to do something. What God wants to do. Can we communicate?
It was really funny this morning, just for a moment, to sort of depersonalize Gary into like a caricature. It was so funny this morning, in the middle of the morning meeting, this multi-millionaire walks in and sits down, right? And you are at the point of saying, talking about afflictions whereunto we are appointed. And it was just, I thought it was just absolutely a riot. And here's this room full of off-scouring talking about we're supposed to be afflicted, and in walks this near billionaire.
Did I change the way I talked?
No, in fact, as a matter of fact, I thought I couldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. And that's a problem. Because you didn't change one bit. Not one bit. But I would.
Anyway. So, here we are. We are a group of sort of either somewhere in the middle class of white, probably middle class of white trash.
Second generation white trash.
No.
No, you're saying we're sort of average white trash.
Yeah, I'd say
that. Is that how this is still standing?
I'd say the very, very best of us is barely middle. That's what I'd say.
No, anyway. But there isn't one person here that has been able to communicate with another person. Mike can't communicate with Sherry. Sherry can't communicate with Mike. Barbara can't communicate with Harry. Harry can't communicate with anybody. Why? Everything in you says that you want to communicate.
We have totally different adults.
You want to have somebody You can share your likeness.
Nothing to worship, but I wanted to worship.
Huh?
We could do that, we would need the Holy Spirit.
Well, what I want to tell you is that everything that we can't communicate because of what happened in the Tower of Babel. It doesn't mean just that the language, a different language was spoken. It means it's impossible to ever find someone else to which you can communicate true communication. All that what we call communication now is manipulation. There is no such thing at all possible as communication. The only thing that you can do with words is to try to manipulate somebody or someone. Does that touch anybody?
Like the empathy, would that be the closest we have to communication?
Yeah, the language, there can be no, we can't communicate with someone by language. What's going on, Crystal?
Huh?
Where are you?
I'm just trying to see where you're going with this.
Okay. No, you're not. Something's going on.
Yeah, I kind of sense it. I'm just trying to... Just the way you blew off the, well, that's what, you know, you get for, like, looking it up.
Do what now?
That's just, I mean, I think I'm responding to the way you blew off, well, that's what you get for looking it up.
No, I didn't say that's what you get for looking it up. That's what I said was, so that's what you get for using a reference Bible.
Well, I expect to use this Bible for 4 years, so...
Actually, it was a little joke.
He said, "Was that's the problem with
that?" Yeah, you didn't.
That's the point.
It wasn't personal at all.
Well, I guess I'm just trying to figure out why they would say that that's from Babylon. So I'm thinking, well, here there is a whole language, there's a whole body of people that, you know, that could be appeared to, you know, be as a body of Christ, but they instead they turn and use it for themselves, use it for a way to gain for themselves. So
who are you talking about?
These here that built the Tower of Babel, where there's at once they're one language, and then they see that they are one language, and they can use it for themselves, or can use it in some way, so they take and they build this tower, so they can be as God, you know, and so taking what's inside and how the spirit can move, and using it outward. I'm just trying to figure out how they got... No, Babylon. Because I don't know what Babylon is.
Okay, go get your concordance.
Old Testament illiterate.
Well, all of us are. I mean, I don't claim to be any scholar of languages. I mean, I've spent a lot of time studying it, but...
And I started doing this thing, well, why am I studying anyway? Am I trying to gain something? But then it's like... Well, I don't want to sit here and just, like, be fed by you without knowing it myself. So that was, like, this little internal thing there going on.
Well, on a technical sense, I owe you an apology. They're right. The root word for Babel, the Tower of Babel, and the root word for Babylon are similar. But the difference is, Babel in the tower is confusion, and Babylon is confusion but tyranny in terms of the root words. So,
I wondered if they brought that up because it was like it was a road that was like they were paving the way for, you know, to build around that.
Maybe, but the idea of the city of Babylon, or the whore of Babylon, it's the whore of tyranny, which means, but it can't have any power without the root of the confusion.
Right.
So the idea, the only way that the whore of Babylon could have had power is
by the
confusion of the Tower of Babel. But the one ended in, I mean, So technically, he's right.
So I just had a scene when we read on Tuesday how we read about
the whole revelation is like, then this goes all the way to so the source of her.
Yeah, it's a, I'd never seen that either, so I'm glad you, so what the point of this is, if I ever say something and you don't understand it, stop and scream.
Okay.
Okay?
Now, if they hadn't...
I started to go, well, he's right, you know. And I was like, well... Wait a minute.
Okay, well, that's what I want you to do, because I mean, I learned something, because the difference between the root of going back to her.
If they hadn't destroyed the tower, if men had perfectly worshipped an idol, what would that have been? Would that have been, we will be like as God? I mean, would they have been a rival for God?
That's what it said. If we believe, remember what I taught a long time ago, how that the risk that God took in making man, because the risk that God took is that you could have destroyed God. No.
Yeah, and that's what this was.
This is a, how can I say that? I don't want to make a theology out of that. The idea that God could be that vulnerable that you could destroy him. But if you understand even basic chemistry, if something is perfect or is not a mixture, and something imperfect is added to it, then the whole thing becomes imperfect.
Well, he's done this before. There's a thing, man ate of the tree of knowledge, and they said, lest they put forth their hand and eat from the tree of life, and never even finishes the sentence.
Right.
So twice he stopped.
Right. So the idea, and again, I don't want us to create a theology about this, because there's no way that we can know for sure why he stopped, but I personally believe that it was that God was at risk in terms of being polluted, if it's possible to think like that. Or let me put it another way: eternity was at risk of being polluted.
It certainly would have made repentance impossible.
But if man could do whatever he imagined to do, then there would be no reason for repentance. There would be no built-in failure. But the idea, what I want to get back to in terms of the Tower of Babel, is this idea, and let's look at verse 7. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. I mean, this was a perfect example, what just happened with Crystal and I. And it happens a million times every day, that we do not understand one another's speech. And wars are lost. Fortunes are lost. Murders occur. You know, on a personal basis, hundreds and thousands of you know, debilitating arguments in relationships occur that are all over this issue of understanding. The common complaint, I read in some magazine, so I wouldn't take it to the bank, the common complaint from women, and in fact it was in the Cosmopolitan magazine at the barbershop today, the most common complaint from females about their husbands is that they don't understand. I can't talk to him. I mean, it's endemic. Now, the thing that we have to understand is that God created it. God destroyed the Tower of Babel so that, what? So that we could not talk to each other. So we could not understand each other. Because if we could understand each other, then we would try to do the same thing that they did in the Tower of Babel. If we could understand each other, then we would be more tempted to take thought for tomorrow, to try to accomplish tomorrow. If we could understand each other, we wouldn't need the cross, or we wouldn't need the cross as much.
Wouldn't be alone.
And if you could understand each other, you wouldn't be alone. So the new language that was given, the idea that two people could be as one, it has to be then that somehow we have to go around the understanding. We have to bypass the facility of mind that that at least for the moment is the conscious understanding. In other words, understanding can't come from the senses in. It has to come from some other source out. It's the only way that we'll ever understand.
Is it possible that Adam and Eve communicated with God in spirit? Right? Okay. After the fall, they couldn't do that anymore.
Well, we don't know. We don't know about Eve. We know that Adam did, because there was no names. But he was still communicating with God when there were no names. But we know that the first thing he did after he created woman was that they named... Oh, no, that's not right. Just before God created woman, then he named all of the beings.
Well, where I was going was that Christ being the last Adam, okay, he cleared the slate so that the essence of, or the hoped for communication will come back to the spirit.
Something's wrong. Somebody's out of the rest.
Maybe it was something about not being able to say something indeed. Where you have to be right and I have to be wrong. And it's just kind of like some role.
Yeah. I hope that's not right.
Because that's what you said, that, well, I need to throw this thing away because it's no good.
What I long for is the way when I first started teaching in the group, when it was just, you know, Josanna and Gary and John and Pete, there was everything that I said was questioned and tested, so that nothing that I said was ever accepted just because I said it. I long for that.
I always felt like if there was a Bible for me to have to do that, this one would be it.
Well, and I agree with you, and I'm glad you're doing that. But what I said was, you know, and I may, and probably didn't say it correctly, was that's the problem with study Bibles. I didn't mean to imply that was the problem with you, because the study Bible, because it's only that big, can't encompass the subtleties of the difference. And so, but you were right in that case. I mean, it was from the same root word. So, you know, I apologize. I don't know what else to do.
Oh, I'm fine.
Okay. But please, I beg of you, if there's something that you don't agree with, if there's something you don't understand, we are not on a schedule. Please, stop. Speak it. You know, that's why I keep telling you. You keep telling me, Ollie, I need to talk to you about this. Well, what I want you to do is, if there's something you don't understand, is speak it then. When you don't understand it, not save it up for a rainy day. And same with you. You know, you have to think that, I mean, I don't, there's no agenda. There's no schedule that we have to meet. There's no format that you're interrupting. If I get impatient with you, I'll yell at you, but so what?
And there's nothing to be lost.
Right, you don't have anything to lose by, you know, you never have to think, you know, that you don't have any right to say it. Because if there isn't, then this is just spiritual masturbation. You know, you're just watching me masturbate, spiritually. If you're hearing me teach without getting anything. Well, I still think something's going on, so. Well, I feel something, so the only thing I know to do is pray for him, whoever it is.
Well, I don't feel disturbed, but I feel, I mean, I don't feel like there's anything wrong, but I feel like I'm right on the edge of grokking. the condition of man and the spirit, the idea of not being able to communicate, of being ultimately alone, and how he is joined the Lord as one spirit, and how, you know, I feel like I'm right on the edge of a big light bulb going off, and I feel like in response to your saying it's over here.
I'll second that, except the proceeding just a little differently. I mean, it's like there's, I thought it was neat that she said that, because you're talking about don't take my word for it, search the scriptures for yourself. And that's kind of what I'd be heard then. Was,
yeah, that's great.
And just maybe, I mean, just the very thought that I couldn't do that, that I had to, you know, just abide by his word, just made me go,
wow! Oh,
I can't do that, I can't do that.
I never want you to do that.
How do you do that? I don't know where that came from.
You know? Help me, because I think that'll make me feel like I can do that.
She didn't do it, though. That's what I'm mad at her about. Maybe that's what it is.
She held it.
You held it in, and I had to call it out of you.
Right.
Maybe that's... Maybe I'm saying... Maybe it's like... It's hitting me, because I am upset that I had to call it out of you after all this time. Well, I'm...
Return.
It goes, your gold star just went away.
But your attendance is still
there. Things, I think, I make my notes like, you know, look up or search out body block. I mean, and I don't know why that struck me like that. I don't know where it came from. I don't know, you know, I have no idea why that...
Okay.
Why it hit me that way. And I feel like I was struggling to... believe it didn't happen, because I don't usually do that. I don't usually respond to you like that, and it just didn't go away. So I mean, I don't know where it came from. So if anybody has any,
well, I think part of it is shame, because I shouldn't have cut you off like I did. And so
maybe that makes me believe like we are on some kind of schedule, or, you know,
what it was is, in my mind, I was in the middle of developing a point, and then that interrupted that little agenda, and so I just dismissed it. And so, huh?
I never get to talk about what I want to talk about.
Yeah. So, again, I it's probably me that I'm getting a reflection of, which is, I don't usually think in that term, so that's why it feels kind of weird.
What does it mean here? It says, let us go down.
It's the... God is himself. Do I have to do the box?
Go ahead.
I have to do the box.
The royal name. He probably took a company of angels with him too, didn't he?
The box. I can't remember.
Oh, this is cool.
Sign.
Curious of time.
I suspect. The only thing that gives space, the third dimension, is time. If there wasn't a passage of time, then space wouldn't have any dimension. Okay, so this is the universe. If we could... Someday somebody's going to figure out a way to do this, but this is the beginning, and this is the end, and they go back in on each other. They're the same point mathematically.
You understand that?
You understand that?
The Möbius strip is what you used that example before.
Yeah,
but it's a Möbius strip in all kinds of directions at the same time.
But anyway, this point here is outside of time. This is eternity. In God in eternity is God the Father. God in space without regard to time is the Holy Spirit.
I got it. It needs to be a globe.
Yeah, and but God, it's an infinite globe.
God in time and space is Jesus Christ. He's the same God, but he's manifested differently in the dimension that he's in. So that's the meaning of the Trinity. And so God says, let us go down. When God is in time and space, then he, the Father, is in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is in Christ. He's not yet Jesus Christ, but Christ appeared throughout the Bible, the anointed, which just means the Christ, appeared throughout the Bible, but he wasn't Jesus Christ. The Word didn't become flesh until Jesus Christ. Problems of people understanding the Trinity and all that, but to me this simplifies it. But that's the reason for the us.
When you say like the whole God in space without regard to time is the Holy Spirit, I envision a plane, an infinite plane.
Well, you can't have an infinite plane without time.
I thought space would be infinite, but compressed into no thickness without time. It would be a infinite two-dimensional. Here's where I'm going. I've always thought of it as an infinite two-dimensional plane. And then in time, without regard to space, I thought of that as an infinite two-dimensional. And then I thought, well, if Jesus Christ is the intersection of time and space, then that should be a point, not a line. The intersection of two planes is a line. It should be a point. Yeah. So suddenly I messed up.
Well, hear me. You can't. Don't literalize it. These are all just pictures, or different snapshots.
I understand that. I just want to be able. I'm trying to.
This isn't the final truth.
When you say in. I understand. When you say that the Holy Spirit is God.
In space.
In space
without regard to time.
What is that? I'm trying to. What does that look like?
Well, you can't. You don't have a way to see it.
Okay, in space means can be all places at the same time?
No. I mean, he is, but it's time isn't a constraint.
He moves anywhere in time.
Right, time isn't a constraint.
But space is a constraint?
Yeah.
Well, then how can the Spirit be in you and me and him if space is a constraint?
Because the Spirit in you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Time. I mean, it's for the. The Word has to become flesh.
I always thought I understood this.
It would seem though that if all the matter, it's been said that of all the matter in the universe, you took out all of the.
If you took time, if you took space out of all the matter, there'd be a dot that's smaller than your eye can see.
Infinitely. Right.
Infinitely heavy. So, very heavy dot.
So all that the space is in the Spirit is according to this.
Look, everything in that we know about, everything that we can perceive, all that it is Spirit slowed down.
So that space is not one thing and Spirit is another thing.
Right.
If space is Spirit.
I mean, you're trying to...
Okay, I think I sort of understand.
Remember I told you that I can prove to you by the language of Hebrew that the universe is made of the blood of God?
That's all I've heard you say that later.
Okay.
Okay, well, wait, just one more thing. So I've always thought that this is what this is saying, one thing this is saying. I'm asking if it's true. In becoming Jesus Christ, in manifesting himself as Jesus Christ, God the Father, who has no restraints whatsoever, placed himself under the restraint of time and the restraint of space.
Right.
And gave up everything.
Right.
And became totally weak and defenseless.
He gave.
That I can.
But hear me, it's important to understand that no matter what device I use to try to explain things, or no matter what parable is used in the scriptures, or no matter what parable is you see Christ in, or the mystery in nature, no one of the parables or no one of the devices contains all of the truth. and they're not linear. They're not, you don't build on them. They're non-linear. And it's just a device to try to explain. I mean, when I use something like this, it's only a device that I try to use to explain something that I have seen. I can't do it. We don't have the tools.
And the words don't.
And the words don't work.
But that's an object lesson to what we've been studying.
That's right. I mean, this is exactly right. That's why Christ said all things are in parables. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Not mysteries, mystery. One mystery. But unto them that are without, it is not given. For unto them everything is in a parable. And if you look at the Bible, they literalize a parable. But the Bible, every word of the Bible is a parable. Everything in time that we can look at is a parable of one mystery. There's only one thing going on in the universe. That's all. And everything is a parable of it. And the reason we can't explain it, and the reason that God had to confuse the language, is that he will not share glory with any flesh. No one can have the right to say they are special.
So, by definition, he's not going to let the mystery be in words. He's not going to, it can't be contained by words.
That's right. That's why I said the kingdom of God is not in words, but it's in love and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit.
If it could be, it would be finite. It could be built.
Well, that's what they were trying to do. Remember, these guys were living 800-900 years.
So it wasn't that the Holy Spirit was shed on all flesh at Pentecost. It was that
the seed of Christ was shed on all flesh. That's how Pentecost or Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled. The sperma of God was shed on all flesh.
So God can communicate with himself.
And that's why it says nothing, the only thing that can return to the Father is that which came from the Father. And that's why when we see a picture of it, the DNA of a cell becomes the thing, while in the spiritual DNA of the seed of Christ becomes the bride. And that's all that's going on in the universe.
So if they hadn't tried to build the Tower of Babel, it would have been a whole different story.
No, I think it would have ended up being the same story. It would have just maybe manifested differently. It's like, that's why, I mean, you have to look at it from this parable issue and look at each of the lives in the Old Testament. That's why I like the Melito of Sardi, Passover homily so much, because that's what he does. He goes back and he says it was in Abel, in Joseph, in Jacob, and he's, the mystery, the parable was always the same. And what it was is with Adam. Adam was created innocent. But innocence without testing is worthless. Innocence tested is holiness. God wants you to be holy, not innocent. He said, except you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. God wants a bunch of little friggin' children in the kingdom of heaven.
So God wants
you to become converted and become as a little child so you can walk in the innocence, not judging for yourself good and evil, and then have the storms of life which are appointed unto you, and you don't leave the rest. You don't leave the peace. And that same opportunity was given to Adam, that's given to you, that was given to me. And that is to stand still and see the salvation of God. Adam failed the test. The human race failed the test, so his own Zeruah, his own seed, has gotten him the victory. And we are just the vessels for that seed. Excuse me. I was in a roll.
And it's just one seed.
So all I was going to say was that Adam didn't fail with God. He only tested him. So it was Adam that failed
right.
That test. And that's why it was necessary for Christ to come.
Right. and all of Adam. The human race has failed. That's why the human being, you can't become any better.
But that was predetermined.
No, it wasn't. It was the process. He had the, in order for God to maintain his integrity at every point along the line, he had to give them the right and the ability and the efficacy to become.
But he forced the issues.
No, he didn't.
Well, what about telling Adam to name the animal? That's forcing the issue.
No, it's not forcing the issue. It's making him testable, making him a non-angel, so that fellowship is possible.
On the one hand, you got the Tower of Babel, and on the other hand, you got the Spirit shed at Pentecost, and all it means is the seed in each vessel can communicate with the seed in each vessel.
Right, and you can only communicate as the mystery then comes. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another, because fellowship is light. That's why, and then that, that's why both the danger, the possible blessing of that position and the danger of that position is revealed. The closest it's revealed is in the relationship between a man and a woman. And the closest it's revealed in that relationship is in the sexual state. I mean, that's the time when you're both abandoned. And that's why, I mean, that's our heritage. I mean, I can't, I mean, I'm not sure, turn the tape off, I can't. our heritage is to have the best orgasm possible. And that's what will happen when we're transfigured. Then everything that has been a shadow of that, I mean, everything else is just a vain shadow of that, what will happen at the transfiguration. We were born to be transfigured. We're not born for anything on this earth. And everything else that goes on in life is just a vain shadow of that. And that's why if you worship the shadow, then you miss the mystery. Then if you worship the shadow, you become a spot and a blemish on the body.
I feel like, right now, I feel like I have spent all my energy for 50 years fighting against
the Holy Spirit.
Hearing this, seeing this, knowing this, and just giving it to us, to try and cause this to not be true. I've spent my whole life trying to make the Tower of Babel successful or something.
Well, that's
not
what...
wanting it to be true.
The whole human race, again, everything the human race does is an enemy, a mortal enemy of this. And everything your mind thinks about is a mortal enemy of this position.
What I get stuck on is, or that clouds up for me, is that the Holy Spirit, you know, in time has continued from this Babel period and before and onward to test, you know, only to test, to test, to test.
The what now? The Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
No, here. Listen, the Holy Spirit is given for three things. For one thing, really, conviction. But he's given to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's always been the Holy Spirit's job.
So the point I'm trying to get to is the column of Boaz, what was different that had to happen then that wasn't available?
Nothing. Everything. Everything has been the same since the beginning. That's why Abel was the first member of the body, of the bride. The sin offering is always laying at the door. Nothing is different. That's why...
So the giving of the law is the same as the day of Pentecost, the Spirit moving on the water is the same as the giving of the law is the same. They're all the same event.
Right, and that's why the feasts, the mystery of the completing all of the eight feasts that are listed, you know, for a time it looks like there are eight separate things.
Yeah.
And then, as the rabbis say, today is Passover, today is Pentecost. It's all the same day. I mean, all of these are, you can't describe it, you can't experience it in one. I mean, I had an experience that I can't even talk about yet, and that's 20-some years ago. I can't even begin to put in words, but, I mean, this sounds egotistical as hell, but it's the truth. Everything that I've ever taught, I learned, I mean, I haven't learned anything since the beginning of the first revelation. Because what I saw was out of time. I've learned how to describe it differently. I've looked for all kinds of loopholes to hope it wasn't right. But, and that, all I did, I didn't do anything. All I did was visited this eternity for a second. And then...
So in one moment, you've got what looks like the destruction of a city and a tower and a people. And in the same moment, you've got what looks like a quaking, shaking mountain with lightnings and the giving of an undoable law that will kill you. And in the same moment, you've got tongues of fire and 120 people in perfect agreement and perfect communication
and in
speaking a heavenly language.
And in the same moment, you have those 120 people plus a whole lot more transfigured to meet.
Jeez.
It's the same moment.
But it looks like...
Because if you're in time, because you're locked in time, it looks like it's different points. If you're out of time, there's only one moment.
But if you're dwelling on the earth, it looks like your city and your tower is being destroyed.
Right. It's but if, again, that's why I'm telling you that we must look at life from the top down.
It's like when you go through something, and while you're going through it, it's real hard, it's real tough, and long after, maybe sometimes years, you look back and go, you know, you see it all finished, but then to recall each moment, it just felt like, you know, your skin was getting ripped off.
Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. Verse 14. Listen carefully to what this says in relationship to what we've just seen or learned, I hope. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest or obvious the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other at the same instant, at the same time, we are the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as, and the word sincerity doesn't mean, oh, I'm so sincere, it means clarity. So it's better stated, but as of clarity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now the word, it's a really interesting word. We are not as many which corrupt. The word corrupt, there is a technical term, and it's used only in the Greek language for the illegal act of adding water to the wine in order to sell more. That's what corrupt, and you make the word of God palatable.
That's why you say all we can do with language is manipulate.
That's right.
That's what it is. I say this thing in certain ways so that I can get this result.
Yeah, and so you can gain a convert. I mean, if anybody tries to sell you on something, run from them. They're just trying to make merchandise of the souls of men.
You said one night that the verb tense in 15 is in them that are being saved and in them that are perishing.
Right.
But it's like it's the same.
It's the same event.
It's the same seed. It's the same word. It's the same event.
It sure makes me fear for tilting those preachers that,
oh, yeah.
You know. Because I looked at why you were speaking, and it says to profit. You know, here it says, which profit from the word of God. It's scary.
Yeah, I don't know if there's degrees of sin or not, but it sure seems like it would be one thing to be a foolish little person screwing up your life, and another thing to be doing it to tens of thousands.
Well, okay, here, I mean, it's very simple. Go to Matthew 18. Verse 3, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend, now the word offend, again, it's, please look it up. And if I'm wrong, come and tell me. The word offend here doesn't mean, oh, you made me mad. The word offend here gives it, it means that you are entrapped by it. To it's the way the offense is to be entrapped in self-seeking.
Or an excuse for self-seeking.
Yeah. Okay, so think about this thing. Whoever offends one of the little ones, in other words, whoever teaches one of those to do more self-seeking than they already do already, whoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh.
And doesn't that tie into what Revelation 12 or 13, 17 or 18, where it gives a whole list of things that are souls and soul and soul and
the souls of men.
And the souls of men.
Right. Well, I hope the one thing that you see from this Pentecost is that all of the vain attempts to you cannot learn or study your way into the kingdom. You cannot attend Bible study your way into the kingdom. The only way you enter into the kingdom in the fullness is repentance, and it's a continuum state. It's never leaving the state of repentance. And the reason that we can afford to know that is because we know that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Whatsoever thing is a gain to me is a loss to Christ, even knowledge of the Bible. I have never tried to study the Bible. I have never tried to learn the Bible. I say without apology that I probably know the Bible better than most scholars. But it's not because I've tried to memorize it or tried to learn it or tried to take courses on it. It's because I always saw the mystery was I always had to empty myself. The moment I was trying to learn something or trying to apprehend something, I had to say, Father, forgive me. And I said, Father, forgive me hundreds of thousands of times. It seemed like every day. At first, because I was always trying, I was impatient as hell. I gotta get it.
So, yeah. Like those two guys when they were walking with Christ, unbeknownst to them, and they said, didn't his words burn in us?
Yeah.
I mean, when you see to the heart of it, it burns.
Yeah.
I was thinking earlier, sitting here as a unique, separate being, working and struggling to apprehend something is exactly the same as working on the Tower of Babel. It's the same damn thing. It's got God's name on it, which is the same.
Well, that's why, but again, even as I say that, remember that the only people that I know of that were ever commended in the Bible, there may be some others, but the only ones that come to mind were the people at Berea in Acts 17. And it says, they were righteous and they were commended because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. What things? These weird, wonderful things that Paul had told them. That he showed them wondrous things out of the law. And so, I mean, the purpose of scripture is to test. It's not to learn. Purpose of scripture is to kill you, not to memorize a piece of it that you think you can do and gain righteousness from it. What? It's cut you in little pieces. Sword. So a lot of things happen at Pentecost. I hope we've touched on the idea that the only way that you'll be able to understand another person is for both of you to be in a state of repentance. If you try to, I mean, doesn't it get sick and tired of trying to discuss it and argue your way? And it's just kids, that's just boring. It's just old, boring flesh. You know, you don't have to do it anymore. It's over. You understand? Just boring, boring, sickening, boring flesh. You don't have to yell at people and get all upset because they interrupt you.
This feels like a great relief. Really, it's like for 50 years trying to prove I'm not mentally ill and not mentally deficient, and that isn't even the right word, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. And finally going, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be, so is everybody else, everything's fine. It's a huge relief.
Understand? Yeah.
Something that you said last on Tuesday was that all flesh perished at the Feast of Pentecost. And I said, well, what? I don't get it. And you said, we all were transformed into vessels. And that just kind of made, I don't know, it just, you know, many things fit into that. In that, for some reason, that caused me to, you know, see myself from the top down in that. It's all, you know, everything that I thought that I was, as far as fleshy, was really just bullshit. That was just my mind bullshitting me. And either I contain the bride or I contain the whore.
You either contain...
Take joy in the bride.
But individually, you either contain Christ or the Antichrist, or the instead of Christ. It's only if you ever think of yourself as the bride, then it gets confusing. If you think of yourself as the little gods, like, you know, this asinine theology that's going around now, then you're, you know, then it's the salvation of the isolated self becoming something. So it's just more Antichrist shit. But this time it's in the name of Jesus directly. The only way to think about yourself rightly is now we are the body of Christ, the bride, body belonging to Christ. Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And the members of the body, and just remember your own body, they don't have a right to think of themselves individually.
That's a whole lot different than let us go to and make brick and build a city or a tower.
Because this way you abandon yourself. The other way, you corporately jack off each other to build a tower. Well, that's what you're doing.
But it's like now it's in here. It's this thing.
Let us go to and build this.
But the premise is that... The premise is that we've got to get higher than we are now.
Right, you've got to get above so you see what God's... No, you got to see what's coming and avoid the flood. And come together and be strong. Rather than be dispersed and be weak.
Everybody understand a little Pentecost a little bit better?
A little bit.
Okay, I don't feel like talking anymore. Take a big guy.